Well, in case I have missed anyone to whom this applies, let me again say Happy Father's Day. Memories are precious. We have all different ways, I'm sure all of us, of remembering. Different things may bring memories back to the forefront of our minds. When my mother passed away, a friend gave me a gift of some wind chimes. And there was a poem with it that, to the effect that every time the wind would blow and I'd hear that chime, just think that my mother was talking. Kathy has reminded me of that several times. Today, on this Father's Day, we honor our earthly fathers. And in a similar way, for many of us, we cherish memories of those who have gone to be with the Father in heaven. My father passed away in 2009. A couple of years ago, I was rummaging through my closet, and I came across my daddy's old shoeshine box. It's some 60, 65 years old, and I still have it. It's an old vintage wooden box designed to store shoe polish and brushes and rags, and has a footrest on top. You've probably seen one like that. Nothing fancy, but quite functional. And many of Daddy's supplies, including old tins of polish, are still inside. Well, I had decided I needed to work on several old pairs of my own shoes, so I pulled down the old box and went to work. And as I worked on the shoes, all kinds of memories of my daddy came flooding back. I thought about how on most Saturdays he would get out his shoeshine box and gather all the shoes. There were three of us boys, and my dad and my mom, and he would gather all the shoes that needed to be polished so we would all be ready for church the next day. And Saturday, I recall, was also often the day for haircuts for three boys, my two younger brothers and myself, if needed. And Daddy would take care of the haircuts in those days. In fact, I never saw the inside of a barbershop until I left home for college, not once. All my haircuts came from my daddy. It was also on Saturdays that Daddy would remind all of us to finish getting our Bible lessons ready for Sunday Bible class. And so all these traditions and rituals came back into my mind, and so while I worked on the shoes, I kind of started thinking about some life lessons that occurred to me that I had learned through those years that reminded me of. For example, take good care of what you have. It's a good lesson. Even if your shoes are not brand new, you can care for them and make them look their best. And so it's just a practical lesson of being a good and grateful steward of what God has given. The little things in life are important. Even things like shining your shoes and looking your best. How we handle the little things, you see, prepares us for the bigger things in life. And clarify your priorities. My daddy helped us learn the importance of making our priorities and putting first things first. Make the main thing in life. God and His things always come first. And this brings purpose and order to life. And family is important. Family routines and traditions that strengthen bonds and foster a sense of belonging. And friends can be as close as family. So we need to hold our family and our friends close. And I learned that our example is important. Moral values are cultivated by what we do, by behavior as well as by our words. And I'm grateful for the good example that my parents set for me and my brothers. And just a lesson that the importance of memories. I tell you, memories are precious. They help mold who we are. They are part of our identity and our connection with the past. Precious memories remind us of lessons learned, of love expressed, and experiences shared. And they make us grateful for God's blessings. And I just share with you, my daddy was a good man, as good. As good as any man I ever knew. He humbly served the Lord. He faithfully preached the gospel. And he was a loving husband to our mom and a great dad to us boys. I miss him, but I'm thankful that I can cherish his memory. You know, the Bible provides many great examples of godly fathers. We can thank our father Abraham, to whom God said, "I have chosen him so that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice." Genesis 18, verse 19. Or we think of Solomon. How can you read the book of Proverbs and not be impressed with how important he thought it was to be a good father to the son? "Hear, my son, your father's instruction," he says repeatedly in the Proverbs. And the Bible teaches fathers to be diligent to bring up their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, Ephesians 6 and verse 4. And I could spend a lot of time talking about what we should do as fathers. And I've already said enough. And I've gotten emotional, didn't intend to. But I'm using all of this in a way that the Bible does, because the Bible has a lot to say about the fatherhood of God. God our Father. And the lessons that the Bible teaches about God our Father are often presented within the context of what we know by experience regarding our earthly fathers. We'll see that as we go through the lesson. We'll see that here and there. In 1 John chapter 3, John says, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. Beloved, we are God's children now. And when He appears, we shall be like Him." You know, the fatherhood of God, the fatherhood of God is the greatest demonstration of fatherhood. It is the greatest of all. And I think it all starts with looking at the broad general sense in which God is the Father of all mankind by virtue of creation. We sometimes forget this. But the Bible is very clear about this truth. In the book of Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, one of the sections where the Apostle Paul begins to assume the language of prayer. He says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family on earth derives its name." Why does he say it that way? Why does he talk about the Heavenly Father as the one from whom every family in heaven on earth derives its name? Well, of course, because God created man, all mankind, in His image and in His likeness. The Apostle Paul, when he addressed the people of the city of Athens in Acts 17 said, "We are God's offspring." He's talking about everybody. He's saying that to an audience of Gentile pagans. But he says, "I want to tell you about the one true God, the God who is our true Heavenly Father. We are His offspring," you see. And so what that says is, of course, it should remind us of the principle of the universal brotherhood of all mankind. Maybe that needs to be emphasized more in this day and time of so much animosity and so much division, not just in this country, but around the world, and recognize and be reminded that in a fundamental sense, we are all kin to each other. We're all part of the universal brotherhood of mankind. We have one Father that made us all, even if a lot of people don't want to acknowledge that there is a God who is our Father. He still is. And we should recognize that. But I think that also, to think about God as our Father is just to impress upon our minds that from the very beginning of creation, when God created mankind after His own image and likeness, that tells us that mankind, by his very nature, by the way he was created, was designed for sonship, for divine sonship, designed to be children of God. That's what he intended for us. So if we think about our earthly fathers, we're thinking about them today, and that's a good thing. If we think about how they protected us, we think about how they consoled us and comforted us, we even think about how they disciplined us, and how they loved us unconditionally, then we're starting to come to a place where we can appreciate how God is our Father in an ideal, indeed a perfect world. But what does Scripture teach about God, our Father? That's what I want to think about. And I just want to share with you three main thoughts about God, our Father, and some things the Bible teaches us about Him. First of all, our Father is a righteous Father who teaches us. He is a righteous Father who teaches us. We know that He teaches us every time we open the Bible, because that's God's Word to us. That's the Heavenly Father giving words of wisdom and hope to His children. Psalm 119, the whole psalm, you know, that long psalm of 176 verses, every verse is about the Word of God. And He says, "Your Word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin." He's speaking to God. "Your Word I have treasured in my heart so that I may not sin." You see, in the Word of God, we learn some things about the character of our Father. We learn about what kind of Father He is. And we learn about His righteous character. And we see it demonstrated in so many ways. And we see it lived out when He comes to earth and takes on flesh in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. And we see how He lived. We're getting a glimpse of the Father. And He is teaching us that we are to strive to live in a way that is becoming of the Father's children, to bring glory to Him. If we go to the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9, among the Beatitudes we studied recently, where Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Why does He say that? Because that's a fundamental attribute of God. You want to know what God is like? He's a peacemaker. He's a reconciler. And He wants us to be the same. Or we go to verse 45 of that same chapter, Matthew 5, verse 45, after He talks about the importance of loving our enemies, He says, "So that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, for He causes His Son to rise on the evil and the good, and He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous." That's what kind of Father He is. That's teaching us some things when we read passages like that from His Word. We also have teachings from Him that we are intended to learn when we look around and see this beautiful, amazing creation that He has left us. It's amazing sometimes And how can we help but be moved the way David was when he exclaimed, when I observe the heavens, the sun, moon, the stars, what is man that you are mindful of him? I mean, David was just in awe of this creation and so humbled and amazed by the fact that in light of all of this splendor and majesty that we see as a reflection of the nature of God, that he would be mindful of man. Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. And you get up in the morning, you see a beautiful sunrise. When you go out and visit some of the most beautiful locations in the world, and you think about your favorite spot. Or you just think about the basic necessities of life, that God sends the sunshine, God sends the rain, God makes the crop grow, he sustains our life. We ought to be thankful and recognize that all of those things that we all too often take for granted are reminders to us and reflections of God. Amen. And of his righteous character. He teaches us that way. But I have to tell you, sometimes he teaches us through the University of Hard Knocks. He teaches us lessons through life's experiences. The things that we have to suffer, the things that are unpleasant. And, you know, the New Testament talks about this in the book of Hebrews. The writer was writing to Christians who were facing persecution. They were going through some difficult times. And in Hebrews 12 and verse 4, he says, you've not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. And now he quotes from Proverbs chapter 3, my son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. We heard that read earlier. Here is a God who loves us enough to discipline us from time to time. And sometimes we can get kind of bitter when we're going through a real hard patch. And we say, why is this happening to me? When we ought to be saying, Lord, thank you for teaching me some more lessons, helping me to learn some things. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? Verse 9, we had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? You see what he's saying? That's his argument. We know that that's true. We just need to be reminded of the fact that we have a righteous Father who's always trying to get us to learn the basic fundamental lessons of life, and that is to fear God and keep his commandments. That's the whole duty of man. That's our Father. He's also a compassionate Father. He's a compassionate Father who cares for us. And we see in Psalm 103, verse 13, Skyler had this passage a moment ago, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. God shows compassion for his children. He loves his children like any father would, he says. This is why Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, taught his disciples to trust in God the Father, to pray to God the Father, and just to be reminded that he's always there. He's concerned for our well-being. In the sixth chapter of Matthew, he says, do not be worried or anxious about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink or clothing and that kind of thing. And he says, look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more?
Yes, sir.
See? That's his argument. He goes through all of that. He gives example after example. And then finally he says, your heavenly Father knows that you need all those things. He knows. That's what a father does. He goes on in chapter 7 to say, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it will be open. He said, what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he'll not give him a snake, will he? My daddy wasn't a bad daddy like that, and I don't think yours was either. Nobody's perfect, but fathers love their kids, and they care for them. They take care of them. They give them what they need, not necessarily what they want. That's what fathers do. And so he says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? He is a compassionate Father. He cares for us. He's concerned for our needs. He hears our petitions. And like any child, we sometimes ask for things that we really don't need. Probably not best for us to have. I'm always reminded in this context of the Apostle Paul, who had a thorn in the flesh he struggled with. We don't know what it was exactly, but it was grievous. And he writes about how he beseeched the Lord three times that this thorn in the flesh, this messenger of Satan, might be taken away from him. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Sometimes daddy says, yes, I'll get that for you. Sometimes daddy says, no, you don't need that. It's not good for you to have. But the Father is always concerned for our well-being, and that's our Heavenly Father. And our Heavenly Father is a loving Father who forgives us and who saves us. The Bible teaches that forgiveness is a divine gift. Forgiveness comes from our Father. We do Him wrong. We have all sinned and we fall short of the glory of God our Father. And yet He is always there to forgive us. And when Jesus teaches about that here in the Sermon on the Mount, He presents this as a truth, as a word of encouragement for us to know that God is like that, that He's ready to forgive. It's also given as a pattern for us to do the same. Like father, like son, you know. And when Jesus teaches the prayer in chapter 6, He says, pray in this way, our Father who is in heaven. And that's the way He starts it out. Calling on our Father. That's what we do. We're praying to Him. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, give us this day our daily bread. And Father, forgive us. Father, forgive us of our debts. Listen, even as we forgive our debtors. He really comes back at the end of the prayer, after He's concluded the prayer lesson that He's teaching the disciples, he makes this observation. He says, for if you forgive others for their transgressions, your Heavenly Father also will forgive you. That's a blessing, and it's also a lesson for us. He's a loving Father. He's anxious to forgive us. He's always ready to receive us back into His bosom whenever we have sinned against Him. One of the most touching stories in all of Scripture, one of the parables that Jesus told, of course, is the parable of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. And you know that story. You know what that younger son did. Just to kind of sum it up, he blew it. He comes, demanding what's his. I want my share, and I want it now. That was his first mistake, having that kind of attitude. He felt entitled. And then he goes and he squanders it all. There's no time at all until he has just squandered his whole estate, his whole inheritance with loose living. That's what prodigal means. He was living a prodigal life, wasteful life. That's prodigal. He'd wasted it. He had blown it. And he reached a low point where he was so hungry that he was feeling that the urge and temptation to get down and eat with the swine. And in verse 17, here's the turning point. He came to himself. He came to his senses. How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I am dying here with hunger. I will get up and go to my father. I'm going to go home. And I'll just accept whatever crumbs he'll give me. That's his attitude. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. And so he got up and went. He made the decision and he got up and went. He went humbly. He went with a sense of contrition. And recognizing how miserably he had failed. Verse 20 says that while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. And he felt compassion for him. And he ran. And he embraced him. And he kissed him. You see that? I heard a preacher one time preach on this parable. We often call it the prodigal son. He said, in his opinion, it would be better to call the parable the prodigal father. Because I want to say I think that's right, because I think the parable has a lot more to say about God that we need to learn. About our Father and the kind of Father that He is. The Son said to the Father, I have sinned against heaven in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your Son. But the Father said to the slaves, quickly bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. And they began to celebrate. The father loved his wayward son. He forgave him. He's ready to forgive us no matter what we have done. If we're willing to come back to him in a spirit of humility and genuine penitence. This represents our Father, you see, our Heavenly Father. What an unspeakable gift, what an unspeakable privilege it is that we should be called the children of God, as John says. What kind of love the Father has bestowed upon us. And he says, beloved, we are God's children now. And then he says, and when he appears, we shall be like him. That is a hint to us that the time is coming that we're going to be more like God than we are now, even though we were made in His image. That the Lord is going to come and we're going to be changed. We're going to dwell with our Heavenly Father eternally.
Yes.
When we, through our faith in God, obey our God, the Bible says that we become His sons and daughters. We become His children. Galatians chapter 3 has it stated so clearly and so powerfully. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free man, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to promise. Isn't that a great part of the story here that we need to close with? That we have a righteous Father who teaches us, a compassionate Father who cares for us, and one who forgives us and has provided a way for us to be saved. And the end result is we are promised an inheritance. We are promised to be heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Because of who our Heavenly Father is. And He's made it all possible for us to have that. So those are my thoughts for this Father's Day. And I suppose it's fair to say that I'm thinking of Father's Day in more than one sense this morning. I hope we'll appreciate that. Give thanks to Him for His goodness. Give thanks to Him for His great plan of redemption. And my appeal to us all is to be sure that we don't leave here today without submitting, being sure that we have submitted to Him and accepted His gracious gift in the way that we should. And if there's anyone that we can help in that endeavor, this is a good time to let your wishes be known to us. Let's stand now if we sing.